Rooted in Revenue with your host today, Susan Finch.
Hey everybody, Susan Finch and Lainey Sullivan here for Rooted in Revenue, and we are continuing our series, Rebooting with Lainey, and this is so exciting for me because she has these ideas that will make you money, and if you have her help you, you make way more money. And so the first important piece of what she does, one of the biggest things, is when and why to do a business assessment. So Lainey, let's go.
Hey, it's good to be back. So yeah, business assessments, people are afraid to dive into their business. And it's really funny. They don't want to face off with the challenges. They really don't want to be vulnerable with themselves or with others, because it's a scary proposition to go, yeah, I got some problems and I don't know how to fix them. So I'm just going to ignore them and hope that they'll just go away. And that normally doesn't work. Actually, it never works. And so there's four areas, and I'll just run through them and then we can hit on them. But there's four main areas for me that I think that is the timing when you want to start looking at doing an assessment on your business. Your business has exploded and you guys have done massive, quick, or exponential growth. Like, you've just exploded in growth and you can't keep up. And I've got companies who have actually exploded in growth and then they've actually had to fire and come back and reduce because they grew too fast and they weren't able to maintain. They didn't have the foundation in place for it. The other one is you as a CEO, everything's in your head. You hold all the knowledge. You don't trust your team. You're not letting people help you. You're not delegating. That's a big one. Number three, your systems are outdated. This is a really common one. Or you're not really using the proper systems. So you're either your tech stack is broken in some form or fashion. And then the last one is you're actually ready to hire more team members, but you don't know how to do that. Like, you don't know when to get to that point. So those are my four main, there's a lot of reasons why to do an assessment, but those are the four main areas. Cool. To look into and to look at when you're reflecting on your business. So where do you want to start? With number one?
Yeah, let's go with number one and see what comes up.
I know a company that's a friend of mine. He grew so fast. He laid off half his staff. He grew so fast in 3 years. And then last December, he laid off half his staff. 50% of his staff. So they don't have any systems in place. They have no processes in place. They've been winging it. They've been doing good. They did great winging it, but they didn't have the infrastructure in place to maintain it. And this is the problem. When you grow so exponentially fast and you don't have the infrastructure in your business to grow with you, you fall apart when you get to a point. There's a point where you're going to fall apart unless you fix it.
It's hard. You and I talked about in the previous episode, the visionaries. Mm-hmm. And that's a common thing that happens to visionaries. Mm-hmm. I remember several years ago, I met with a client and he told me his vision. I said, this is how we're going to do it then. We are going to nail it for the first location. Mm-hmm. Work it out. These are the things that I see. And I'm going to make a manual for you, an onboarding process, all these things. He didn't want to wait. And so he expanded into many locations. 25 before having the system in one. And it came down to the people at the other locations. They said, we haven't even met him yet. I'm like, what? I mean, it was that fragmented.
I think I remember the story.
Yeah. I don't mention names or anything, but yeah. And it was sad because it was a wonderful plan.
Right. But
he did not take the systems plan, implement it, test it first to see if it was scalable.
Right.
And to refine it. So that, it happens. The visionaries get so excited and doing the parts they want to do. Like you were saying, skipping the parts that aren't fun.
Right.
No, I'm really good at this. So I'm going to do that. And that stuff can wait.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
We'll deal with it later.
Yep.
Yep. But you never figure it out and you never deal with it later. And sales is great. Like, making money is awesome, right? We all want to do that. We get so caught up in the hype of the growth and the money and the revenue that we start to ignore and forget to pay attention to the back end of the systems.
Yeah.
And because we're so hyped, it's like, we just made $1 million. We made $5 million, whatever the number is, right? I mean, I'm literally going into a $6 million company they've been in business for 30 years. And the owner right now, he's a new owner. He bought from the old owner. So 82-year-old owner sold to a 50-year-old owner. And the 50-year-old going, we've dealt with the emergent situations. And he goes, I'm at a point now where we've grown, we've doubled our revenue in the last 2 years, but I don't know where to go now. I don't know what I don't know. And I don't know how to fix the things that need to be fixed. And so if they want, and they want to become the number one company in their region and in their local area, and they want to beat everybody else in their industry, but they don't, they're too broken mm-hmm. to be able to do that. Because if they grow any more in revenue, right. they cannot sustain it on the back end of their business. Their infrastructure won't hold it.
Right.
And their team will fall apart. They're already on the cusp of it. And they're a $6 million revenue company, like killing it. And yeah. And then this other company having to fire, like it's happening more and more. And in the economy and the place that we're in right now, the last thing you want to do is blow up your business either way, good or bad, right? You don't right. want to blow it up where you can't maintain it. So then you blow it up the other way. So it's, yeah.
yeah.
So
you just level it and clean.
Yeah. So you definitely need to have somebody come in, do an assessment, look at where you're at, build out your systems and processes. So that way, as you're growing and as you have exponential growth, your systems and processes and operations can maintain that exponential growth. You can have exponential growth easy if you've got the systems and the foundation in place for it.
Right.
So yeah. The second one, how many CEOs and business owners do you know that have everything in their head and they won't trust their team?
I've met those people. And I have to admit, when I had my gallery mm-hmm. in Laguna, because it was just easier for me.
Right.
And I didn't realize I was hindering the success of the people under me because they had to come to me with everything.
Bingo.
And none of it was shared. And it wasn't intentional. Hmm. But part of, and I know people do it too, though, because they're afraid of not being valuable enough, especially when they are in not CEO positions, not COO, but everybody down, all the managers, they will yeah. withhold it because they're afraid if they teach everybody how to do it, they will teach themselves out of a job. And I have to admit, I have done that. I have mm-hmm. shared so much information with clients that they were able to go do what I did for them on their own. And mm-hmm. they were happy and they're thrilled and they thank me all the time. So, oh, great. But, you're gone. But I was told by somebody, by a client at the time, he said, you are withholding information and ensuring that Wendy will never succeed.
Mm-hmm.
You need to document. You need to... Yeah. teach and show and document it all so that she can pick it up and you can go on to doing other things.
Yep, exactly. Because you as a CEO actually need to be pursuing, number one, your visionary items, the things that you love and the things that make you money. So income producing activities, IPAs, for all of you who acronyms, IPAs, right? You need to be paying attention to your ROI, your KPIs, and your IPAs. If you don't know what all those things are, talk to Susan. You have to get it out of your head because your business is going to be limited to what your capacity is at that point. So a lot of business owners, you, right, didn't do it intentionally. It was just easier for you just to deal with it, handle it, resolve it, but you hindered your business, you hindered your team, and that's happening on a regular basis. There are CEOs that are afraid of letting their team take something over. It's their businesses are babies, right? It's our baby. We're afraid to let somebody drop the baby, basically, right? Don't drop the baby on the head because then the baby dies. That's what the fear is it's we're going to let somebody take the lead and take the reins on a part of our business. And we're trusting that they're going to treat our business the way we would treat our business. And that comes down to a whole hiring thing. So that's a whole nother conversation of how to hire and get them to have buy-in and trust and all that. But you do have to trust your team.
Right.
You've got to let them fall. You've got to let them fail. You've got to guide them. How did you learn? You didn't just learn by just because you knew it. It wasn't just automatically right. dropped into your brain. You had to learn. So you've got to allow your team to learn too. I feel it's so important to develop your team. They may not know everything when you first hire them, but you can develop them to what you want them to be unless you hire somebody that's my level or Susan's level, where we've got the information and the experience to come in and do it. But if you're hiring your team and to develop them, it's super powerful so that you can give all your knowledge to them and you can train them into what you want.
It comes back. I've had this conversation with Matt Hines and some other people. You and I started in all this when we actually went to an office and we were mentored. We watched, we shadowed. When it's all remote and they have not had that opportunity, it's difficult because first they have to learn how to learn.
Yes.
And see it and fail. And we have to learn how to model and mentor to be able to turn them loose on those things. And I even find though, if I'm really honest, I check back, my home life had that problem too, because everything was in my head and I would get resentful if things wouldn't get done the way I wanted it to. So I was like, screw it, I'll just do it. I'll just do it. I'll just do it. It's okay. I'll just do it. Rather than saying, taking the time, allowing them to stumble and showing them all how to do something.
Yeah.
So chances are, if you're doing it in your business, check at home, ask the question. You might be doing it there too. You know, right. It could be in friendships. It could be in committees you volunteer on. It could be in anywhere, but usually it's across the board.
Yeah. And it's a natural thing to do. So most people aren't doing it out of malicious intent, right? It's just, I know how to do it. I'm just going to do it. It's easier. But really, if you look at how much time and energy and frustration and stress and everything else is that costing you, how much of your time and freedom and joy is it costing you?
Right.
Like your level of frustration because somebody isn't going to do it the way that you're doing it is costing you your freaking joy and happiness because now I have to do it. Now I have to go fix it because they didn't do it right.
Right. Or I gave it to them and I checked back and it's still not done.
Right.
And that's a whole different topic. That's those leadership conversations. That's the stuff that Helen Finucci talks about in Love Your Team. Mm-hmm. It's going back. It's how do you have those conversations to, rather than giving up on them?
Yes.
Bring them on board. So we'll do that another time.
Yes. Write that down so we can have that conversation. Yeah. So you just can't hold all the knowledge. I mean, you've got to let it go. And that comes down to delegation. And there's easy ways to delegate. And one of my favorite ways, I actually have a process. It's called Love, Hate, Delegate. So I'll walk you through the 30-second thing of it. So take a list, write down a piece of paper, write down everything that you are doing in your business. Just everything from accounting to marketing to the piddly little bullshit tasks that are sitting, that little to-do list that's on your table right now. Write all those things down on that list, right? So take your list, and then I want you to just go right above the top to the right of it, L, H, or D. And I want you to go, well, L, H, and D, not or. But, and I want you to identify what you love and what you hate. And I just want you to just, I love all these things and I hate all these things. And then I want you to look at what is producing you income. Even if you hate it, I want you to look at what's producing you income. And those are the things that you need to be doing, the things you love and the things that are producing you income. Everything else that you hate, delegate. It's a really simple.
That is simple. So that comes into the value add category.
Mm-hmm.
What things do you actually, because I would want, for me, I would have to add that in. What are the things that are value added, but only because it has my touch? Or can I delegate it or teach somebody how to do it with my touch?
Right. Yeah. And there's plays off of it, right? It's not this simple is just identify it. I mean, the first thing is to identify and then you can adapt it to what your business is and how you serve your clients and everything. But the key is that you're sitting here with this massive list of things that you have to do and this whole list in your head, it's all in your head. And you're like, it's all, and I'm guilty of it because I will literally ruminate and percolate on things in my head and my coaches write it down. And I was like, oh yeah, right. I'm actually really good at delegating though. I will tell you, I have mastered the art of delegation. I will take anything off of my plate that I possibly can if I don't love it. And sometimes I do have to do things I don't love. We all do, but that's the first step I would do is just get it out of your head and figure out how to delegate it. Figure out what the things are. And then, and then come and talk to me and I'll tell you how you can actually delegate.
Yeah, so I mean, you don't have to have somebody like Lainey forever if you don't want to, But you can have her to get it going, and then as your check back, your reference.
Well, and I don't do forever, just so y'all know. You get me for 6 months to 2 years max, and I'm out. I come in, I help you, and we make sure it's all good. And then and I actually train clients' ops managers, and I will train their team to step in and take over that position because they need to have somebody on the, inside the business full time. And I'm not that person, but I'm happy to develop and help develop that person. So yeah. Yeah. I don't want to be, yeah. Love y'all, but no. Oh, tech stack is the third one. Your systems are outdated. The tech stack is a big deal. And people don't even know what a tech stack is. So Susan, tell me what a tech stack is.
Tech stack is all the tools that you use, you license, you download, you log into that you and your team use to accomplish all the things in that list. And it changes and needs to be reviewed. Just because it worked a little bit ago, I've replaced a few recently, and I'm in the process of replacing one. And my team's saying, did you get that set up yet? Did you get it set up yet? I said, hey, give me a minute.
Yeah.
But they do become obsolete. They change. They don't go with best practices and needs and security. And all these things continue to evolve. And if we don't review our tech stack, chances are we're wasting money, wasting time, and missing opportunities to make things more efficient.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's a really big, that's one of my big key identifiers is where are you at with all your technology? And some people don't even know what their technology is. Like they don't even understand that. Oh, I log into this thing. Like your GoDaddy hosting is part of your tech stack. They don't.
Right.
It's just the dots don't connect because.
It's to them, that's a browser and they're logging in. So that's not a tech stack.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Anything with a login is part of your tech stack.
Yes. Anything. So when you are logging into stuff and you're looking at your technology and your software, your applications, what's on your phone, that, like Susan said, there's so much movement in technology today. As we all know, it's so hard to keep up. I mean, it's hard to keep up with the damn algorithm on Facebook and Instagram, for heaven's sake. It's ridiculous, right? So imagine the amount of movement and growth and change in technology. If you just take Facebook and Instagram as an example, like it's moving fast, it's light speed. And so some softwares, like there's some softwares that I love that they do, they keep up and they update and they keep you going and they keep their security up to date. And then there's others that they start to break because nobody's maintaining them on the back end. The developer has just disappeared or they just don't care. And so you want to make sure that the technology that you're using is valid for your business. It's relevant. It's the security and all of the internal controls and all of those pieces are all in place, because otherwise you're putting your own business in a really scary legal position. So
I think about though, when sometimes the tech that you choose, let's go with the email marketing processes, all those different things. If the handshakes don't continue to exist with social venues for those automatic social postings that we do where we can schedule everything, there are many tools out there. But once they lose that relationship with your destination for stuff or the rules, or suddenly they're going to charge you, it's, whoa, that's no longer valid then for me. Then I have to reevaluate what to use on a regular basis. I do this all the time for clients. I go through and I look at whatever they do know, and I start with their hosting account. Where do they buy their domains? Did you know you had 75 domains in there? Do you still need those? And they're going to renew. And did you know you have 4 hosting accounts and we aren't even using those anymore because we moved you over here? Did you know? And just showing them, because sometimes it's hundreds of dollars. Yeah. Sometimes it's thousands.
Yeah.
And in your email, oh, you're a nonprofit. Well, Google lets you have mail for free. Did you know that? Let's change how you're registered there. Stop paying for things. Stop paying for things you're not using. Turn off the auto renewals. Turn stuff off. Go month to month on stuff for a while. I don't care if it's 20% discount. Tech stacks are changing too fast to pay an annual fee when you don't need to.
Exactly. And I do, I'll go, when I'm trying out a new piece of technology, I will go for 3 to 6 months on it, on month to month, before I will ever do that annual fee, because I want to see it, how it's working. Is it effective? And sometimes I'll do a couple different pieces of technology at the same time to compare.
Yes.
And that can be burdensome for those who can't handle it. because you are playing in two separate pieces of technology that maybe do the same or similar things, but sometimes it's worth it. So,
perfect example this morning, I've been working on an audiobook for one of my hosts for transcripts. We have 25 transcripts and everybody has limitations what you can upload. So I went into Claude, put them all in there. And at the time I said, hey, Claude, can I refer to this thread as a resource for our next project for this? Yes, this is how you ask me. Okay. So I did that. And so it was working along fine until Monday. Now it says, oh, I can't do that anymore. I mean, I was ready and I was waiting for the outline from all the transcripts for the extracts I need to pull from all these audio files.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly it's, oh no, things change. I'm sorry. I can't do that anymore. I went, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So now I'm back over to GPT and trying to figure out how to do that one and do the same type of thing. But oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And I'm going to upload it all in there and hope that it can look at it. But that's the type of thing. It is changing so fast.
Yep. The other side of that is the technology that you guys aren't using. So how much technology is sitting dormant in your business, or that you have your team started using, maybe you're using it, maybe one person on your team is using it, but the rest of the team is just, we don't use that. Or I was talking to a client the other day and they're, what happened to this? And he goes, we just stopped. Like, no good reason. They just stopped using it and they didn't have so you're paying for technology and software that is lying dormant in your business, or you've just ignored or turned off and stopped using for whatever reason. So you're wasting money. So looking at your tech stack, we just covered a variety of areas within the technology that this is why you need to have an assessment, because somebody needs to come in and go, why are you doing what you're doing? Because sometimes we don't understand why we chose the thing that we did.
That piece. And sometimes clients are too quick to say, we don't use that, delete. And they didn't realize that is the only place where certain data was, certain files, or they fire a person, delete their account.
Oh my God.
Rather than just forwarding it to somebody else. And so you lose all access to anything that they had created. Yes. And it's that too fast. Yeah. And so that's the other part I know you do with all the stack assessment and things. It's who is in charge of this?
Right. What does that process look like?
Exactly. And who is the backup on it?
Mm-hmm.
And all that needs to be in place. You know, stop deleting stuff, guys. Stop deleting things until you are totally sure you have every piece of it. You need to stop. Please, I know you want to save the money. Stop. Let somebody else look at it.
Yeah.
Whether it's Lainey or somebody else, but somebody needs to look at it and say, whew, don't do that, because you're going to lose all those videos. You're going to lose all that stuff.
Yep.
It's like, remember when everything with YouTube and Google and everything else, and our YouTube channels were just a crap show.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had Geek Speak Guides, same type of thing. That, that page went away. And so that whole channel went away. So all those videos went away, and they're old now. But the point was, it just disappeared because of one change in an email address.
Yeah. Yep.
That type of stuff, it can get you, and it can be something that can never be recovered.
It's so painful when that stuff happens, because you're just
so avoidable.
Yes. So avoidable. So tech stack is a big deal. Big deal. I mean, it's probably, this is why I do an assessment.
Yes.
And then the last one is you actually have gotten to a point, maybe you're not at exponential growth, but you've gotten to a point where you're ready to hire new team members. So, and that could be something where you already have a team and you're ready to grow, or you're just, this is definitely a growth area, right? Regardless, you have team or you don't have team, but you're ready to grow. I find that a lot of business owners, they're ready to grow, but they don't know what they need. So, and then there's a lot of people that go, I need a virtual assistant. I just need a VA. And I'm, can we please be more specific about what you actually need? So this is where you want to break down, what do you actually need? What are you growing into? Again, it goes back to
that list, those tasks, the love and hate.
Yeah. That's why I built that. Because your love-hate delegate actually informs what you need to hire for. And so, yes, I might have an entire process of how I built out all of my workbooks, and they all lead one to the
Yeah.
other. So, because Love, Hate, Delegate leads into how to hire, how to build out. See, people just put job descriptions together and they think, oh, that's sufficient. I'm just going to hire somebody. And then I'm going to go post on social media and be like, I need this person. And they haven't done the back end work to actually figure out what they need. And so what is the scope of work that you want that person to do? And I don't want a job description. Job description is for the birds. That's for the recruiter. That's for LinkedIn. That's for all of your hiring websites. This is for when you get that person in the door. What is the work that you want them to do? What is the process of the work that you want them to do? So you build out a scope of work that says, here's all of the things from Love, Hate, Delegate. Here's all of the things that I want this person to do. And here's how I want them to do it.
Ooh, there it is. Yes.
And it's the training and it's the decision hierarchy and it's the credentials and the access. It's the teaching. How am I going to bring them in day one, day three, day five, day 14? What do I want them to be doing by day 30? Who are they working with on the team? Am I coaching them? Am I teaching them? Or am I having them paired up with somebody on the team? Those are all the things that you need to decide on before you actually ever hire a new person on your team.
I want to go into that a bit. The documenting of what the tasks are, I always liken it to, teaching a Martian how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You can't make any assumptions that they know how to do anything, and it has to be, otherwise you are constantly, it's the same, going back to the thing, it's in your head.
In your head.
And you have to, those steps. I was working with Austin this week and he FaceTimed me frustrated. He had taken a sewing machine back to college and he wanted to repair his jeans, the fly on his jeans. And he's threading this machine and it wasn't working and wasn't working. And we're going through it and he kept saying a couple of phrases. I'm like, I don't even know what he's saying, but duh. I didn't even think to tell him the wheel on the side of the sewing machine that it comes toward you or goes back and to load the fabric in the front, pushing back. Like, who doesn't know that? He didn't. I made assumptions. Even though he's sewn a lot of times, he really didn't think that much about it because he was frustrated. So he was trying all different things. And it was those assumptions I'd made that were taking this conversation took 30 minutes, even with video. What are you doing? It's what? It's that same thing, every piece of it.
Every step. Where do they go? I mean, to the point that if there's a set of documents or there's a link or there is a credential, where are they getting the passwords from? What kind of access do they have? Yeah, across the board. I mean, I want step by step, and we build that. Like when I bring on a new person, I have an onboarding process. I have a complete team onboarding workbook to teach you how to bring on your team that you have to work with an HR person or a legal person from the legal perspective, right, of hiring,
Right.
or your accountant if you're contracting, however, whatever your legal means are, depending on where you live. But there's a process that's really easy to create of what is that person doing? How do you want them to do that work? And then the timing of everything. You need to have the timing laid out for you and for them. That person coming onto your team is nervous, excited. They don't know what they don't know. They're
Right.
coming on and they're hoping that you're going to be prepared for them. They're expecting you to be prepared for them. So when you show up unprepared and going and scrambling and have your shit all over the place, they're going to be like, what did I just sign up for? Maybe this isn't the right thing. You gotta be organized with it. You gotta be put together with it. And so that's another reason why we do an assessment, because we build out the entire onboarding process. I just built out job descriptions and SOWs for 15 or 20 positions for one of my clients, which is a lot of work. But what is the work that we want them to do? And they're a big nonprofit, and they really needed to have that
Yep.
really delineated and broken down. So then that way they could take it to their current team. And so now they're taking it to their current, they're implementing an entirely new process to their current team. I mean, here's your position and here's what's actually expected of you. And then as they bring on new people, it's effective for the new people too.
Well, it allows the team, though, to also give feedback and to say, it might be more helpful if we had this in there. And it does, it's a growing document. It's living, breathing. Yeah. And it does take time. That's a part. These are the things that people want to rush through and skip because it's just easier. I'll just show them the things. I'll just show them.
And
it's going to slow you down. And it's going to cost you more money too, whether it's in time or hiring somebody to do it. Lainey has, but you still need to do that to save the time, avoid the mistakes, avoid the turnover of your team.
Yep.
And to stop losing clients because you're ticking them off because people aren't doing their jobs.
Exactly. And if your team is worried about like not sharing the information with you about how they do their job, you have a culture problem. Yep. And that's a whole other conversation, but that's a culture problem. So if you have a team, I would have them go through and write out everything that they do in their business. Have them write out, do a love, hate, delegate. I actually had a client do that. And they had their team go through Love, Hate, Delegate, which was really fun because then they got insight into what their team enjoys doing, right? So then it allowed them to go, okay, if you know Sally doesn't X, but Joe loves it, maybe that work needs to transition, right? So really, and that's not going to work for everything, every task, right? We all have to do stuff we don't. But it really, like, the more you can implement and ask questions, it informs you of how to make better decisions.
Yes.
So.
Fantastic. What a great wrap up to this one. So we will have those four steps in there, guys. We'll be in the post and you will be able to reach Lainey anytime because you need to get on her calendar. She's the COO. I'm the fractional CMO. And between us, we can get you straightened out. And even fractional isn't just not a full day every day. It's also a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You would love to teach your people how to do it all and be able to run with it and have success because then we can brag on, oh, look, our children, they did so well.
Exactly.
We get all excited.
I'm so proud.
I know. I do. When I teach podcasting classes, I say, guys, send me what you created after what you learned. Yep. I want to see, I want to promote, I want to talk about you.
Yep. Exactly. I just created a video the other day and I'm not a creative in that regard. Graphics and creatives. And so I sent it to Susan, you'll know, I sent it to Cheryl, but I sent it to a friend and I was, look, after 10 years, I learned how to make a video.
Oh my gosh. And of all the people, Cheryl, she's just going, oh, good for you, honey.
Exactly. That's exactly. Yep, that was the feedback. It was great. I laughed because I was exactly, I'm the good student. Look, I finally learned. Only took me a decade, but I learned it.
Funny.
So yeah.
Oh man. All right. Well, find us on Rooted in Revenue or all your favorite podcast apps. Connect with us on LinkedIn and we'll get back to you.
Yep.
Send us any of your questions. Thanks so much.
Never miss an episode. Check out rootedinrevenue.com and subscribe on the site to get weekly updates of when new episodes come out. We'll get you all the information you need to do your best with marketing and your online presence.